Welcome to all of you folks. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. It's just gone 11 o'clock here in Boston, or I should say Medford, or it may actually be Somerville because I'm sitting right on the Somerville-Medford line. You're listening to Radio Zeke. I am your host, Zeke Duckworthy. I have a couple of musical guests, a little bit different today. I've got R.D. King. Let's see if I can get you queued up here. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Good to be here, Zeke.
All right, great. And I've got Nils Johnson.
Yep, right here.
There you go. Okay, now, R.D. King, to you folks who are familiar with the Boston musical scene, will know that he is an instrumental guitarist extraordinaire, and we'll be demonstrating some of that. Nils is a guest who we have of a genre that we haven't had on before. He's actually a luthier, maker of extremely fine instruments. He's made about 50 of them so far, but he's the real deal. So we're going to be talking about guitars, making guitars, the business of trying to make a living in making guitars. But first, let's just jump right into it. I want to say hello to everybody listening live here in and around Harvard Square, Powder House Square, Somerville, Watertown, wherever you can hear the sound of this on 91.5 FM. I know we've got a lot of listeners around the world, and I will say hello to Colin over there in Chester, England. I will say hello to folks down in Cape Town, which is pretty far away, people over in Taiwan, people in California, people in Germany. We do have people who do tune this in from time to time, Amsterdam, I believe, today. And we've got listeners all over the U.S., so hello to all you. If you, this is sort of redundant, because if you're listening to me now, you're listening to me now, and it won't help, but I will tell you that the air check to this show is available after the show at my website, which is duckworthy.com. Now, we are required by law not only to, of course we obey the law here, but to give you the station ID at the top of the hour, which we have done, 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And we also like to play, because we're required to, a PSA.
Woo! Let's get crazy!
Into a pool fully dressed, everyone cheers them on and jumps in too. Just so you know, in real life parties, nobody jumps in after you. You just look stupid.
Come on, jump in! Come on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, there you go. And if you do jump into a pool, make sure that there's water in it, because that might end pretty badly. All right, now, generally I have the musical guest suggest a song or two, and we're going to start off with this one here.
Thank you.
course, that's Yorma.
One of my favorites.
The surrealistic pillow version of Embryonic Journey, where he's demonstrating a little bit of fancy footwork there on the fretboard. My guest today, one of my two guests, R.D. King, an acoustic and instrumentalist guitar player, and he is wielding his Martin guitar right here, and he looks like he's ready to do some picking. What are you going to play?
I was going to start with an original of mine called An End to Wandering.
All right, let's hear it. Thank you. not quite correct to call you the prodigal R.D. King, because you're a little old to be a prodigy, but that is some mighty fine guitar playing there.
Well, thank you so much, Zeke.
Nice song, too.
Appreciate that.
Now, you have told me in the past, that's, again, just if you're just joining us on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, I am Zeke Duckworthy. It's 11 past the hour here. I have two guests in studio with me, and you just heard R.D. King, as he styles himself, playing one of his compositions, An End to Wandering. I've seen you quite a bit around town. I think I probably saw you first at 6B Lounge, which is kind of a loud, loudish venue, not the greatest acoustics. But in general, what happens when Mr. King sits down on his stool? Now, you don't use a foot rest, do you, or do you sometimes?
I do, yeah, I do use a footrest.
Yeah.
I play with the guitar over my left leg, and I use a small footrest to elevate my foot, sort of in the classical style.
When I'd say within the first 128th note, which is, are you playing 128th, sir?
I don't usually play 128th, so I guess 30 seconds would be the fastest.
Yeah, it's pretty fast, though. generally, within the first bar, the room, no matter how crowded and drunken the clientele may be, they just shut right up and listen, which is a very high accolade indeed. Now, you have come to playing your own stuff with a classical background. You were trained as a classical guitar player, is that right?
That's right, yes. I went to Ithaca College School of Music for 4 years and graduated with a degree in classical guitar performance.
So you would early on have been exposed to Segovia, of course. And
absolutely. Yeah, Segovia, Julian Bream, Eduardo Fernandez, many others.
When I first got serious about music, moved away from, let's say, the Iron Butterfly side of, you know, boom, 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 which is nothing wrong with that, of course.
Oh, I love that, too.
Yeah, right. But I remember putting on, this was in Ann Arbor in probably 1972, and I went in, in those days, you had record stores, of course, that was your only choice, and they had listening rooms, and I put on a Deutsche Grammophon of Segovia doing probably some Bach arrangements, and you know, light goes off. I mean, this guy's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably one of the all-time good.
Yeah, well, Andre Segovia was essentially responsible for elevating classical guitar to become a concert hall-worthy instrument. Yeah. Before that, people really considered the guitar more of a, you know, barroom instrument, and Segovia had these sort of great ambitions of turning it into one of the sort of fine art instruments.
Not really a bad legacy, because he succeeded, I would say, in his goal.
He did.
Mr. Johnson, sitting off to audience left here, stage right. Nils Johnson is just graduating from, where are you going to school?
So I currently go to Bunker Hill Community College, studying computer science, and this, I'm going back to school. It's the end of my first year back. So,
Now you, we'll get to this in a minute. What made you decide to go into fabricating, into luthery, into making guitars? What made you do this?
Well, the answer to that question is kind of long, actually.
You got plenty of time.
All right. So I guess I'll kind of start at the beginning. It's one of those questions that I feel like I could go very deep with.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think when most guitarists start out, they kind of, and I'm sure everyone's heard this, guitarists are really a unique breed. There's something about them that's a little bit different than most other musicians. Now, not always true, but oftentimes I think it is. And what kind of makes guitarists a little bit different is I feel like when they start out, they see something and they have this attitude where they're like, I could do that, I think. Like, I am ambitious enough and motivated enough to actually try and pick something up and learn it.
Now, pay careful attention, everybody out there, because he's speaking truth. If you don't, if you're not willing to embarrass yourself and try something that you can't do, you won't ever move ahead. And I speak as a really lousy guitar player, but I'm persisting, as Lizzie Warren said. I'm going to torture the audience anyway. So so you've got guitar players out there, and they're...
Yeah, and, you know, I was one of those guitar players. I started playing guitar in 2005. Mm-hmm. I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. So I started doing it. It really spoke to me. I really liked it. And I kind of had that moment when I started where I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I can practice. And, like, you know, I think I can make this work for me.
All right.
So all through high school, you know, I was the guitar dude. You know, I played the guitar. I was in a band. Had a Fender Stratocaster.
Yeah.
And then I was also really technically minded. Like, I was always looking at things and taking them apart and wondering, like, what could I change about this? Like, what can I make different? That's just kind of how my mind works.
So there you are in a hoodie as a hacker, and you're hacking guitars. It's like, you know, you're hunched over a guitar, taking it apart.
Yeah, actually, I try not to think about what it was like in high school exactly, but yeah, you know, that was sort of me. I was a quiet kid. I kept to myself, and
that's what they
nerdy.
Always say. Wait a minute, you just uttered the magic phrase. He was quiet. He kept to himself. All right.
But anyway, so senior year comes along. It's 2009. I'm 18 years old, and my French teacher, she asks me, she says, Nils, would you be interested in working for my husband? Her husband ran the repair shop at Downtown Sounds in Northampton.
Uh-huh.
His name is Owen Davidson. He still works there.
Yeah, that's a pretty well-known spot right there.
Yeah, it's Downtown Sounds is an excellent music shop.
Right.
I'm not trying to give, them a plug.
Yeah,
great. That's all right. You guys there.
By the way, we'll get to giving ourselves plugs here, but okay, all right, so there you are in Northampton.
Yeah, working for Owen Davidson, and I started out really just by sweeping up the floors, right, doing basic cleaning, restringing guitars. Eventually, I moved on to doing basic repairs, setup work, and...
This sounds like David Geffen's backstory. He started opening the mail, and then he booked the Eagles, and that was, you know, now he's a trillionaire. Okay. All right.
But anyway, so I had another one of those sort of those moments I was talking about earlier, just when
Epiphany.
I was starting out. I was like, you know what? Making a guitar, just like playing the guitar, I think that's something I could actually do. You know, like, I'm curious enough about it, and I'm motivated enough to, you know, try and put one of these things together and really, you know, see how it works and try and put my own take on it. So, with the help of Owen Davidson, I actually put together my first instrument, which was a mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
So we built that, and, that it came out great because someone was working on it with me. It's my first instrument, so I had that real advantage. But the real reason why I was able to make it work and get to the point where I am today is because I had something to get me started. I had a steady stream of repair work coming into the shop. So
right.
I was doing setups, I was doing fretwork, and I had kind of like developed an eye for what works in an instrument
and
what
doesn't work in the instrument. You had a bench, you had the tools, you
correct.
Had a place to
yeah,
do
that
this.
Made a
right.
huge difference
yeah, right.
too. So I had all of these things working for me, and so that allowed me to actually kind of get to the next step and really develop those skills in ways which most people just can't, because, you know, it's
they don't have
access to these things. So I got really lucky. That's the reason why I was really able to get started and ultimately launch my own business and my own brand of guitars.
Very interesting. All right, now having a luthier isn't quite the same as having an instrumental guitar player or a singer, because you out in the audience can't really appreciate this. At one point, I did have Nils bring in one of his instruments, and I'm going to try and lean on R.D. King to play it. But right now, let's go back to R.D. King.
You have to convince me. I'm happy to play a guitar.
Yeah, okay, all right. Now, what are you going to play now? You're still playing your Martin here, and this is, a D28?
Right, so this is it's actually a HD35.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
nice purfling and all that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
How old is that guitar?
It's coming up on 10 years old.
So it's just opening up, and
exactly. It's just starting to get its bearings.
All right, what are you going to play?
So I'm going to have to briefly retune here, but then I'm going to play a piece called Versus Self, which is the title track from my recently released album, which came out just last month.
Versus, as in against.
Correct.
Okay, so let's hear some tuning here. Are you playing standard tuning here?
I'm afraid not. This is actually a very strange tuning.
All right, you can talk about that in a minute. But yeah. All right, let's go ahead.
So it's funny, most of the guitar players that play instrumental music are amazing at tuning and talking at the same time. It's not a skill that I've mastered yet. But this tuning is, for those guitar nerds out there, it's E flat, G, and then standard after that. So it sounds like this. Which
okay.
is a little bizarre. But Basically, it's because this piece is in sort of two different keys, and I'm kind of switching between the different modalities.
So. And there's no capo on this, so you're just, okay.
Correct.
Okay, and as far as temperament, do you actually tune direct to the note if you can, or do you?
Okay. I do tune directly to the notes if I can.
So you're not 2 cents off.
I might be 2 cents off in this case just because I'm...
Yeah, because you're sitting
I tuned here. From a capoed position, but...
Okay, mm-hmm. All right, here we go. It's called Versus Self.
Here it is. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, real nice. Versus Self, an original composition by my guest R.D. King. Now, that's not it, when you go out of popular music into classical, and that I would call that modern classical music. It'd be a good way to describe it.
Yeah, it's difficult to categorize.
Yeah, it's we'll talk about this in a minute, but clearly you're not playing a pentatonic kind of music there, that you have multiple, there's no bridge, there's no structure that is familiar to, let's call it the Nashville formula, and yet it's magnetic. Now, I hear you, as I say, I've seen you around town maybe 20 times, and I imagine your material as particularly well-suited to soundtrack. You know, the sort of thing that would be playing in a documentary or in a feature movie. And can we talk about your personal life a little bit? Am I allowed to mention?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So this gentleman is partnered up with a local entrepreneur named Haley McGee, who you will notice if you have been following eBass, emerging Boston area singer-songwriters, which has now gone defunct because she's spending all of her time working on her own music promotion business. But I'm sure, since you're spending a lot of time with her, she must have some ideas about like what you can do with this kind of music, because it's not, I mean, it isn't going to be top 40. You know, there's no hook. There's
right.
no, but, and yet it's, you know, really great music. So does she think you should move towards what I'll call the sync side of the business, where you're selling it for?
Yes, absolutely. So Haley McGee is my girlfriend and also my manager.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. And
this has long-term potential.
she's a fantastic music promoter and music organizer, and she did found the community, Emerging Boston Area Singer-Songwriters, and she also runs Talisman Music Group, which promotes emerging artists, and yeah, she's fantastic. I encourage everyone to check out her work. Yeah, we've talked a lot about the avenues for my kind of music. Certainly, it will not be a top 40 radio type experience. But there's a lot of potential for cinematic music, for example, which I'm actually very influenced by cinematic music in general. And I did actually write soundtracks that were not guitar based, but I have written cinematic music before. And yeah, it's something I'm fascinated by.
I have a friend who's a documentary filmmaker, a guy named Dana Adam Shapiro, and he actually made a very well-received and critically acclaimed documentary a while ago. It was his first foray into documentary film. It was called Murder Ball, and it won the Sundance Audience Choice Award and went on to, it's a pretty big deal. And he sent me a trailer for it, and he had used a clip from a band now defunct due to the demise of one of the principals. From the band was called Penguin Cafe Orchestra, and you've probably heard this piece. I don't know the name of it offhand, but it's been licensed to a whole bunch of things, and he was unable to obtain a license to it, and because the estate was fighting over it, and the fee for was like stupid money. You're talking maybe $250.
Yep.
$250 large. That would be $250,000. And music makes movies. If you don't have music, the movie is like 10% of what it is with music.
Absolutely.
So I can certainly see what you're doing being of great interest to people who are filmmakers or people who need to set a mood. Now,
yes,
I'm going to get back to Nils Johnson, who's sitting over here very patiently waiting for a chance to show off his guitar, his oeuvre. And I think sitting here, I'm going to try something that I haven't tried before. Eventually, I'm going to play a Leo Kottke piece, not the one that you requested, but another one. And while we're doing that, if you can fish out your guitar, make sure it serves in tune. Maybe I'll have R.D. King, who's here as the player, play one of his pieces on the Martin, and then play the exact same piece on the Nils guitar. Is that all right?
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll be able to do an A-B comparison. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. This is Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Radio Zeke. It's 32 minutes past the hour here in Boston, 11:32. I am your host, Zeke Duckworthy. In studio with me is R.D. King, who you will hear play some extremely intricate and beautiful classically inspired music, and Nils Johnson, who is a guitar manufacturer, I would say. How many have you made? 50?
Yeah. Oh, man. I should have gotten that number before I came
That's
here today.
That's close enough for
But yeah,
work.
It's around that. Then there's mandolins and ukuleles on top of that, too.
Yeah.
Closer to 75 total instruments.
Now, I first came across your work at the local guitar store in on Harvard Ave, Mr. Music. Yeah. And there's a guitar hanging back there, and I go in there from time to time and look at guitars. And now, I'll be the first to confess that, you know, I'm not worthy of touching. I mean, Mr. King here is, and I'm not. But, you know, having said that, I can aspire to get a little better.
Zeke's underselling himself. He's a great guitar player.
No. But let's enough lying. Leave the lying to the host. I make it look easy here. I picked up one of your guitars, and it was next to Gibson Blues King, which I had just sold one of them. And that for me, you know, since I play all this dark, you know, apocalyptic, you know, crawling out of a coffin at midnight type of Townes Van Zandt music that I write, like a Gibson is more my guitar. And then I picked yours up, and I was thinking, oh my God, this guitar is like alive.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, since my music is all about doom and death, it wasn't like a perfect fit. But then I got another one that was like a real perfect fit. I'm going to tell the audience here that if you are familiar with the history of Boston and New England, back in the 1700s, there was a young gentleman who was a gifted carpenter named Duncan Fife. His stuff is in the National Museum. He's one of the all-time great furniture makers. And I will compare you in the luthery world to a young, aspiring, and possibly all the way there. Your stuff is very, very, very fine.
Thank you.
I'm gonna play this one song. This is Leo Kottke by request. Now, you requested Mona Ray, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one is Corinna Corinna. Talks to me.
I've been worried about you, babe, ever since you've been gone.
Leo Kottke doing Corinna Corinna, or Corinna Corrine, I believe is what it's called. I have in studio on Radio Zeke, I am Zeke Duckworthy, and in studio I have with me R.D. King, guitar player, and Nils Johnson, guitar maker. And Mr. King has requested a couple songs that we can talk about. Leo Kottke, of course, is fine player.
One of my heroes.
Yeah, and I can see why. And I think though you're going to give him a run for his money. All right, we're going to have you play. We're going to try and do something a little bit different here, because I can't easily demonstrate Nils Johnson's skills. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have R.D. King play one of his compositions, which is called Heartstring, and he's first going to play it on his Martin D35, and then he's going to play it on Nils' guitar. So let's hit it. Thank you. That's Heart String, played original composition, is that right?
That's correct, yep.
It's and
my recently out album.
R.D. King, and I can imagine that as kind of a recessional to a movie like On Golden Pond or something like that.
Yes.
I mean,
I've played it at weddings before. Actually,
It's a fine piece of music. Now that you played that on a Martin D35, which you've had since it was new, I presume.
That's right. Yep. Since 2009 was when I
and,
got it.
Okay, for all the guitar geeks, so that's drop D, right? And you've got capo 5, right?
Capo 4, yes.
Capo 4, okay. Now, we're going to try something a little bit risky here. Nils is handing, this is a grand concert guitar, is that right?
Correct, a grand concert guitar.
And what is this made of?
So the top of it is Adirondack spruce, and the back and sides are Honduran mahogany, as is the neck. It has a Cocobolo fingerboard and bridge. I feel a little bit kind of like I've been set up to fail here.
No.
What I'm trying to say is the Martin Dreadnought is a much different guitar.
Sure.
If you look at the size of these two instruments right here, the concert guitar is closer to the size of a classical instrument.
Yes.
The body is much more narrow. The lower bout and the upper bout are a lot smaller.
It will give you a different... It'll ring in a different way.
Yeah, it definitely will.
Yeah. Now, the bracing, though, this is an X-brace guitar, of course.
Correct.
So it's internally, it's Martin-esque, I would imagine.
Yeah, very different from the Dreadnought, though, in the sense that the Dreadnought has a flat top to it, completely flat, where this one has a much more pronounced dome built into it.
Oh, really? Really? Okay.
Yeah. So, I think we should actually just let him play it.
Okay,
all right.
Go ahead. Here we go. Hit. Thank you. Very nice. Yeah. So this is, it is kind of an ambush here. I'm having R.D. King play one of his songs, Heartstring, back-to-back on his Martin and on Nils's Grand Concert. And they're different guitars completely. It's kind of interesting to pick up a guitar that you've never played before and play some pretty intricate stuff.
It is. It's actually quite difficult to do that.
Yeah. very credible performance, though. But the guitars, now if you're listening to this or you want to go back and listen to it after, you can A-B them. This guitar, to my ears, sounds a little bit brighter. The harmonics are really, I'm sitting right in studio, and I hope that the air conditioner in the background isn't causing too much havoc on the recording. But what would you, how would you characterize the two guitars?
Yeah, well, certainly they are two different sizes, as yeah. Nils was saying before. And my Martin HD35 is a Dreadnought.
Right.
And Nils's is a Grand Concert, which is closer in size, as he was saying, to a classical guitar. And the first thing that I noticed was that Nils's guitar has a much more delicate sound to it for mm-hmm. that reason.
Yeah.
Which sort of lends itself more to sort of beautiful melodic playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it
had, which you can do.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And that was actually a good piece, I think, for showing that. Certain parts of that especially I thought really sounded beautiful on that guitar. And yeah, what were you going to say, Nils?
As the maker of the guitar, let me start off by saying I have never made a Dreadnought guitar before.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't actually. The Dreadnought, I think, is really Martin's territory,
yeah.
to be honest. It's a design that they came up with and they perfected it. And if I'm going to be making an instrument, if I'm making a Dreadnought guitar, I just feel like someone who's interested in a Dreadnought is going to want the maker who actually perfected that. So it's a beautiful guitar, but I don't really feel like it's my place to
yeah.
actually mimic that style.
Yeah.
With the concert guitar, it's a size that I absolutely love. I just love the small body, and it doesn't feel like much when you're holding it. And the sound is a little more intricate, I think. The Martin moves a lot of air. You strum it, and it's just the sound. It resonates so well. It projects up beautifully through the soundboard. With the concert guitar, it has more of an ambient sound, and has more of a pluck to it, kind of. So when you're playing those higher notes, they sound a little bit more intricate and they ring out a little bit differently because
yeah.
the higher part to the note,
the overtones,
pings a little bit.
The overtones
there's
in the
there's
harmonics,
more
yeah.
in the overtone.
Yeah.
In terms of the sound, the lower end of the spectrum, it kind of has more of like a rolling sound to it. It's like it's there, and it's sort of, rather than just powering on through, it kind of gently rolls through, and you mm-hmm. hear a little bit more of the string noise, I'll say.
Now, both of these guitars are strung with D'Addario's, is that right?
Mine is.
Mine is with the Martin strings, actually.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Do you notice any difference, R.D. King, do you notice any difference between the strings?
I do, yeah. I usually follow the rule of Martin strings on Martin
guitars.
On a guitars.
Martin guitar.
And I put D'Addario's on a lot of other things also, just because they are a little cheaper, and they also sound, I think, the Martins don't sound as good on other guitars, I've noticed.
I put, I have that Red Label Yamaha FG-180, which goes back pretty far, and that, for me, that's a good guitar because it sounds kind of gloomy, and I put Martin Retros, which are nickel strings, on it.
Yes.
And they definitely have a unique sound. I'm not sure I'd put them on a Martin guitar, but I put them on my guitar, and they sound pretty good. So.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put the retro ones on.
Not for you.
But those do sound, you're right, they sound very interesting, and,
yeah.
and you do get a unique sound out of that.
Yeah.
I always find it fascinating to hear people's opinions on strings, kind of just because I always default to the D'Addario strings because...
Right.
I know they sound like really well, and it's my job oftentimes to troubleshoot an instrument. So for me, D'Addario is like a square one. I know what they should sound like. I know what they're going to sound like. But there definitely is something to it. The Martin strings, they have a lot of character that I think the D'Addario strings don't have.
How often do you change your strings?
I change my strings certainly before any major performance.
So, like, you're not playing strings that are more than 2 weeks old, typically.
Yeah, almost never, really, unless, you know, for some reason I'm just practicing.
Do you like strings right when you put them on, or do they have to sit for a day?
I like them right when I put them on. Actually.
Really?
That's my favorite. I put them on, you know, maybe about 2 to 3 hours before I perform. Sometimes I'll put them I do that if I'm going to have a chance to play them a little bit.
Yeah.
I won't play anything seriously right before a big performance, but I'll at least just sort of I like
loosen
the strings
them up,
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the strings once they've been played for, you know, maybe 30 minutes or so. I find that there's sort of this narrow window where they sound really great. These strings currently are I guess about a little over a week old.
Interesting.
And, yep.
And on your guitars, when you string them up, do you feel when somebody's playing it that you want them to be playing new strings, or do you just not care?
It's tough. Yeah. You know, it's really about what the musician wants.
Right.
Personally, the sad thing about being a luthier is that you'll see someone play your guitar when it's brand new,
right,
and that's the worst time to hear an instrument be played. because the wood breaks in, and it breaks in very quickly, actually.
Would you say a year later it's happy?
So, actually, when you put strings on the guitar for the very first time,
right,
it actually sounds pretty bad. Seriously. But then, after 20 minutes of playing, it gets a lot better. Notably better within the first 20 minutes of playing. Then from there, it actually, basically, it starts to sound better over time, but the newer it is, the quicker it sounds better.
I see.
The difference of a year is going to make a huge difference when the guitar is, you know, 6 months old, but when it's brand new, the difference of a day will make a huge difference.
Now, the legend, and let's start with the fact that every guitar player knows, which is guitars are all different. Acoustic guitars, probably also true even of Stratocasters, where there's, but I'll say for sure, any kind of hollow-bodied electric, and with particular truth about the acoustic world. And the legend, and the sort of, you know, Robert Johnson down at the crossroads selling his soul to the devil legend, is that, you know, an older guitar is going to have more character, and, you know, wood gets better as it gets older. Do you believe that?
I do, yeah.
So 50 years is going to sound better than 10, if all other things being equal, if it's a well-made guitar and it's a good piece of wood.
Yeah, I would definitely say just the time alone will make a notable difference. The first thing that comes to mind when you kind of pitch that idea is I've seen some really old back and side sets for guitars, just the raw wood.
Right.
And when they milled that wood, it came off of the planer and the sander, and I'm sure they were perfectly straight. But then they've sat for 30 years or so, and they developed small warps in pretty much every direction. Like, you'll have a cup in one end, a bone the other side. And it's not that the wood was inherently unstable. It's just kind of what wood does. And
because it's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to change. I think, like, there's resins in it that will actually dry out. And once that happens, it will change on a molecular level, or so I've been told. And I believe it.
You've seen that video of me down at the Martin Guitar Museum playing that D45, the 1942. Now, again, here's an example of, I'm not really entitled to play that guitar, but I did have a chance to go in and play this $400,000 guitar, and that thing was a real cannon. It was, you know, just an amazing thing. In the back, Chris Martin IV was actually there that day, and he was he came out and he talked to the execs, and I was tailgating. I went into this. I won't even get into the story, but if you ping me, Zeke@duckworthy.com, I'll send you the video. So, like, it actually happened. He was telling these execs from the Guitar Center that, you know, if anybody wants to, you know, have Martin build a custom guitar for him, they've got a lot of old wood, you know, 70, 80-year-old wood that's like Martin Select stuff that's just sitting back there. I've had in studio two guests today, Nils Johnson talking about guitars. What is your website, Nils?
It's www.nilsguitarsandmandolins.com.
And are you going to go back into the guitar making business?
I would really like to.
Please do. Please do. Although if you don't, then the few that you've made are undoubtedly going to be worth, you know, millions. So like, and I have one. RD King. No, but seriously, please do. RD King, what is your music site?
My music site is rdkingmusic.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
You want to play a real quick walkout song for us? This has been Radio Zeke. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. My two guests have been Nils Johnson, luthier, and R.D. King, guitarist. And we'll have R.D. King play us out here. King, bringing us directly to the noon hour. What was that song called?
That was Luminescence, just the ending half of it.
Thank you very much. This has been Radio Zeke. Feel free to tune in next week. We'll have Crow's Pasture, a fine husband and wife duo. I'm